Up next, always fun to have a special guest join us here in the archives. And this guy goes back way to the beginnings of the Jesus music movement. You might not think so, but if you go back, he was there. And we're happy to have him on the phone here tonight. And Lauren L. Harris, thanks so much for giving us some time.
A pleasure to talk to you, and it's late, man. You have you on.
Well, we want to get to meet you a little bit, Lauren. First, I know you're so we want to get to know you a little bit first, because I know you're from Kentucky, right?
Yeah, I'm from a little town called Danville, Kentucky, and live in Louisville. I met a lady from Louisville at Western Kentucky University, and her name was Cynthia Sloan, and she promised me, after we dated for a while and decided we were going to get married, that if we should get married, we'd move home. And I thought she was talking about Danville. She wasn't. She's talking about Louisville. We've been here ever since, so it's all right. It's a great town.
Now, growing up, Larnell, did you grow up in a Christian home?
You know, I half and half. My mom has always been a believer and a Christian lady. In fact, she prayed my dad into the kingdom. He was on the outskirts, you know, from time to time, Easter, Thanksgiving, and that kind of thing. But boy, as a little guy, listening to her pray for him, I got to tell you, I didn't understand everything that was going on, but I knew from those prayers that he didn't have a chance. And he became a believer and became the spiritual head of our home. And guess who needed to see that? His little boy. And boy, I'm just so thankful for the relationship I had with my parents over the years. And they passed away some years ago, but boy, no regrets. We had a wonderful relationship, and you know what? I didn't give them a whole lot of trouble, so we did okay. Other than that curfew, my mother had this idea that I, you know, as a senior in high school, I should be in at a certain time. I balked at that a little bit, but you know, I even going into that, I knew who was going to win, especially if it was a Saturday night and Sunday morning was coming. It was going to be church or move out of the house. So that was my mother, Ida Mae Harris. She's Pentecostal holiness lady. She wore that white dress with them big gold buttons right down the front. And boy, she'd scare most people. She'd scare most Presbyterians and Baptists to death. You know what I mean? She'd be shouting and praising the Lord. And that's what I grew up with. You know, she sang, my dad sang. And so I've been around music all my life. In fact, I did my first concert at 9 years old. Miss Georgia Dunahai. Another lady from Danville who played organ in our church found out that I could carry a tune. I was a boy soprano and didn't sing a whole lot, you know. But in a little town, they didn't know anything about the Vienna Boys Choir or anything like that. So being a boy soprano was not a thing that lifted you up, in other words, okay? But she played for that first – I took piano lessons from her. And she played for me the first concert, 9 years old. Man, I just think singing the Lord's Prayer and songs like How Great Thou Art. And you know what? I said, you know, when I got some age on me and started to understand that those trips back to Danville, you know, after I got out of school and traveling, even after I moved here, we go back quite often. I have an aunt and some cousins there. And every time I drive the 80 miles from Danville, Kentucky, back to Louisville, I bring with me another episode, another memory of someone who spoke into my heart and spoke into my life. And Miss Georgia was certainly one. She used to get on my last nerve with the singing stuff. But as I've gotten older, you know, I just hope that every town has a Miss Georgie, somebody who doesn't want anything, who just wants to pour themselves into a kid and give them a dream and sometimes scrape the top off of it so that it's unending, so that a kid or even an acquaintance, you know, knows that they can, that they're okay, that they can be okay with the Lord and that they can be someone. And Miss Georgia certainly did that for me.
Well, Larnell, your own, given what you just told us about your mother, now, I guess we could take from that your own spiritual walk began pretty early then?
It did. And I joined church when I was like 12 years old, you know. And And at that time, you know, I committed to what I knew about, okay? And yet it was years later, after college, that I would meet a guy by the name of Stan Morris, who was a professional trombone player, just a fabulous player. And I had gone to audition for a group called the Spurlows. Now, not as a singer, but as a drummer. And I wanted to play drums, and I had auditioned as a drummer, and they brought in the Spurlows, which was started by a guy by the name of Thurlow Spur, who is just a wonderful musician, wonderful friend for many, many years. But they brought in, there were about 10 or 12 groups under that mantle, and they brought in a group and did a concert, sort of a demonstration concert for us who were auditioning. And the music was fine. I mean, it was Christian music like I'd never heard it before, so I was very excited about that. But when they gave their testimonies, I was not so excited, because what these college-age kids were saying about their faith and about their walk with the Lord, I didn't understand that. I didn't know anything. I really didn't know about that. I had a lot of Christian, what they call it, Christian jargon. I had a lot of that stuff in my hip pocket, and I could bring that out on a moment's notice. But Stan, being a wonderful Christian, asked me a very, very hard question I'd never been asked before. Do you remember a time, Larnell, when you asked Christ to come into your heart? And I couldn't remember a time when I did that. Now, I joined church when I was 12, and I really believe that God, that it's like the law in the Old Testament. It kept the people protected until the coming of Christ. And I believe that when I joined church, it was sincere, but there was some stuff missing. But I do believe and know for a fact that God just kept me safe and kept me in his view until I could understand it, until I could understand really what it meant to be committed to Him. And Stan helped me do that. And I hope that everybody will go back and think about that person or that meeting or that situation where you met the Lord, and then look how far He has brought you, how much you've grown over the years. And so I'll always be indebted to Stan Morris, wonderful trombone player, great Christian brother.
Now, you touched a little bit on starting into music as a 9-year-old, which I guess every 9-year-old boy is a soprano, but did you then decide early on that, hey, you know, music is something that I want in my life, or how did that work for you?
You know what? At that time, I didn't. You know, I was into baseball and football and all those kind of things. In fact, Miss Georgia went to my mother one time, and she said to her, Adam A., that was my mom's name, says, you should not let Larnell play football or baseball, because the dust will hurt his voice. That woman, he got on my last nerve. But at that time, you know, I was a kid. The concert at my church was family members and our church family. You know, your mother always thinks you're great. You know what I'm saying? And there are always people patting you on the back. But I knew that God had His hand on my life, and something's going to happen. Even at 12 years old, Miss Georgie playing in that concert, I'd be singing some hymn, and tears would come to my eyes. I didn't understand it all then, but you know I do now. That was the Holy Spirit just, you know, not saying that you're going to be singing professionally sometime or recording or doing all that. It's just, you know what? I am with you. I am here. I am a father. I wrote a song really for my kids. I am a father. I believe God was saying to me all along, I'm a father. You're going to leave your home. You're going to leave your mom. You're going to leave your dad. You're going to go out into the world. But I'm a father that you will never outgrow. And it wasn't until later, really my junior, senior year, when I got into the latter part of high school, you know, another person that God put in my life was an old band director from Danville, Macaulay Arthur, who everybody in the Denver was scared of, but he got wonderful in these contests, band contests. We always got superiors and all that kind of stuff. So it was like a coach who wins all the time. You may like him, but you love that he wins, and that was Mac. And he took me to a number of schools in Kentucky to audition, and I ended up at Western Kentucky University. And I know that God put him in my life for that time. And it was during that time that I sort of thought about, you know, maybe music is what I can do. And my degree is in education. I got that before I started on the road anywhere and was going to teach. And yet God had other plans. And, boy, it's good to follow a good plan, you know?
Amen. Well, Larnell, you mentioned the Spurlows. Was that kind of your introduction to a contemporary style? I mean, back then there wasn't a whole lot, but would that have been your introduction to CCM?
That was my introduction into, man, I'd never heard this kind of music. You know, it's got, Thurlow had horns, you know, we had saxes, we had probably 8-10 singers, and, you know, the drums, and we did driver education safety programs in the daytime during the school year. For in high school, sometimes we'd do two or three a day. You know, that's pretty tough. And we couldn't give our testimonies in the daytime concerts in schools, you know, by law. But we could have fellowship with the kids. And after the concerts, they'd always come up, and we would be able to talk to them. And we would invite them then to a concert that we were going to be doing nearby that night, which was a concert called The Splendor of Sacred Songs. And, of course, we saw many a young person come to the Lord as a result of that ministry. Our follow-up was done through the Billy Graham organization. It was really put together quite well. And so that was our ministry piece. And we really enjoyed that and was challenged to share our faith with these young kids, and it worked.
Now, out of the Spurlows that you came into being a group in called First Gear, is that right?
Well, yeah, First Gear was actually made up of the band that backed up the singers in the Spurlows. Most of the guys could sing, you know, and everybody played, and so we would get together, you know, while we're after set up sometimes in these schools, and Chicago and some of those horn bands were around, and we had some arrangers who would, Stan was one, he was an arranger, and he would put together some of those Chicago songs for us, and we'd play them, and it sounded pretty good. So they decided to make us a group, and I had started to sing. I didn't sing for probably the first 6-7 months I was in the group. I played, but one of the guys that I had graduated from college with, knew that I had sung some in school. You know, that was my major. And so he, Otis Skillings, boy, that's a name I haven't thought about in a long time. Wonderful guy, arranger, minister of music in a number of places, brought in an arrangement of Oh Happy Day. And so they had people trying out, you know, different kids trying out to sing that. And so my friend from Western said, you know what, Larnell, sing that. And I sing. I don't want to sing. So I sang that song. That became my song in the program. And I did it from the drums. And I put a mic on the drums. And then you know what, sometimes everything's not a good idea, okay? So Thurlow got this big idea of putting my drums on a cart with wheels, okay? And they had a choreographer come in and for our daytime show, you know, so they would, the choreographer put me in the choreography line on with my drums on this cart, on this wheel, and it'd be the other singers would drag this thing around, you know, with me on it, you know, which sounded like a good idea. Every once in a while, I'd go to hit a cymbal, and I'd have to catch it before it fell off the thing. But it was great fun and a wonderful ministry, and it was the start of a lot of things for me.
Now, but you didn't record that song yourself up until the 80s, though, right? Oh, Happy Day?
Yeah, it was a long time, but that's when I first started to record. And we had, you know, I had done that so much. And then I met Edwin and the Hawkins Singers and did a concert with them in Chicago, and maybe even more than one. And so that song has always been a lot of fun, and of course their arrangement of it is wonderful. I still do it, and I still do it today, not because of, you know, the groove or the beat. It's because now I'm a little older. I understand it. I understand a little bit more. You know what? When I met Stan and got my life on track, on a growing track. Boy, that oh happy day! Now we're saying something. It was a happy day when I understood that God loved me and cared for me more than even I did. That He wanted to, more than anything else, wanted to be the center of my life. Wanted everything to revolve around Him. And in fact, it had already started because I was gonna teach school. You know, I was gonna. Mac Arthur, who was the guy that I met in last couple of years of school, of high school, was a bigwig in a little town called Hopkinsville here in Kentucky, and we had already talked, and I was going to head down there for, you know, to teach, and then I was interrupted by this wonderful thing that happened in my life, you know, with Jesus, and then I was able to say what I had been protected all those years to say all along. Whatever it is you want me to do, if I'm supposed to be in the Spurlows or in the group or speech, I'm gonna know. You're gonna let me know. And you know what? God did.
Amen. Well, Arnell, let's take a quick music break for the folks. Since we're talking about Oh Happy Day, I got it queued up here. Let's go ahead and throw it on for everyone. This is a song that started Arnell down the road singing. This is Oh Happy Day from the archives in WJTL.